Good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Hey, Rob. It's Rob, Sean, Claudia, Tara, Marina.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Hey, Rob.
Yes, Rob.
This is Rob Wright. Before we get too far in today, I would like to give you some ammunition for your next marketing campaign.
Okay.
Sean and I were sitting down talking yesterday, and one of the clients, that when I wrote that email and said I expected that we would lose about 30% of our clients, I had one client that was position A to go, and everybody in this office agreed with me, and it's about $15 million. The guy invests another $2 million a year, and he'll probably have $40 or $50 million in the next 4 or 5 years. So we've had a development with him. And then I sat down yesterday, and Sean said, don't you ever read your emails anymore? I said, well, you know, not Claudia goes through them and stuff. I mean, Tara goes through them. I eventually get to them and stuff. And he said, well, while you were down here making all your calls yesterday, these emails came into you. This one came into me, and another one came in today. So I'll let El Capitan tell you about all this because I think it's, like, crazy exciting. And you should record this and play it for anybody who can't decide whether or not to start Supernova.
Yay.
Well, I'll give you the high-level overview, Rob, first. I think I might have shared this last call, but as of June 30th, we were in the hole $15 million in new AUM. By the end of this month, we'll be close to 17 to 20 in the positive. And the specifics that Rob was referencing were with the client, again, has $15 million, adds $2 million a year. Emailed Claudia on Monday that they had made a decision to transfer old 401k accounts that had been outstanding, just held directly at his old firm for 6 years while we've been working with them, and they decided to sign the paperwork to move over another $1 million from that account. So I would say that relationship's moving in the right direction. Secondly, another client who's probably worth another $40 million just transferred in $600,000, but then sent us an email after a 1242 call Rob had yesterday, similar issue, pension plan that he wants to roll over for $1.2 million, and then asked us to do some work with his CPA just literally 10 minutes ago. Client we were working with was dragging their feet, new prospect, had about $5 million. Only moved over half of that, 2.4. Have already had two 1242 calls with them, of which they still have about $1.5 million at TD Ameritrade, who they just turned over to allow them to run a discretionary model. But our calls changed their mind in 2 months, and they asked us to send them an ACAT for $1 million from TD Ameritrade. And then just kind of sprinkling here and there, a $550,000 cash transfer, a $400,000 cash transfer. So this is starting to work.
I said to him yesterday, Rob, you know, Sean, I just get the sense that this is really starting to work. And that's when he said, you don't read your emails, do you? And I said, not very closely. And he said, just while you've been down here tinkering around making 1242 calls, in the last 2 days we've brought in like $3 million.
So we had a dinner meeting, you know, I think we shared with you with our management team. About 4 months ago, you know, explain what it was that we were doing, which, you know, I think much to our chagrin, I feel like that still fell on deaf ears, but laid out the fact pattern of why we were down $15 million and that, you know, we recognized it. We were putting positions and processes in place to get things fixed, and I think the fruits are being born right now as we've had a major shift of about $35 million in 60 days.
Wow. You give a lot of credit to Supernova for that.
Well, since I thought I was going to lose the guy with $18 million that started the conversation, and I have no reason to think we wouldn't be doing business exactly the way we were 6 months ago if it wasn't for you, yes, I do. And trust me, I'm arrogant enough that it hurts me to say it's anybody other than my genius.
That's brilliant.
One of the pieces, Rob, that we haven't fully done is implemented the 24-month calendar. we've essentially tweaked it to our own piece here temporarily, just as we're getting comfortable with the process of the monthly calls. Claudia had an idea of implementing a specific investment recommendation this month and an education on what a preferred stock is. We've done that with the clients over the course of the last 2 or 3 weeks. And the reasoning of us implementing that position in the portfolio has really resonated with clients in this current market environment. And a lot had no idea it was an asset that you could even implement or understood it. So we're getting comfortable with, the education piece of how we implement that part of the process. So Claudia, Marina, and Tara just got done sitting down talking about how, you know, the VP of implementation is going to go through educating the team on the 24-month calendar going forward. So that's a deficiency that we haven't fully implemented, but we're getting there.
All right, so here's how I'm going to challenge you guys, all right? You've accepted virtually every challenge I've given you. I'm going to give you the challenge of actually publishing your 24-month calendar.
Okay. Publishing it where, Rob?
Publishing it with your clientele.
Oh.
All right. I think what that's going to do is this. It's going to really have you take it seriously. I think you're going to prepare better. I think your clients are going to be delighted by it. I think it takes you guys to the next level. It's frightening to be that accountable. But guess what? Every time you do something that is frightening or other people are not willing to do it, you differentiate yourself in the market. When you went to having scheduled appointments, that differentiated you. When you went to having an agenda for every call, that differentiates you. When you go to an executive summary of each call, that differentiates you. People say to me all the time, how can I differentiate myself in the market? I said, do all the things that other people aren't willing to do, that clients want and are delighted by. Does it make it harder for you? Yes. But it creates real value. We think, oh, let's get the right cup of coffee in the hands of the client. You know, let's use good china. Let's dress appropriately. These things are all, frankly, unimportant to the client. What is important to the client is the client. What's important to them is that you're taking unbelievable care of them. And that's an agenda with a handout on the topic that you're going to be discussing so they're prepared like a board meeting. By sending them an executive summary, they have something that they don't have to keep track of. The old idea is that you want to make the client look smart and never feel dumb. You want to worry so they don't have to worry. You want to provide attention to detail so they don't have to. I'll give you an example. I hope I'm not repeating myself, but I had an executive physical with my concierge doctor. And it took half a day. It's a wonderful experience. There were probably five things that came out of that I needed to do. I needed a new prescription for a drug that I'm taking. I needed to take a stress test. There were five things, okay? I got no executive summary of what those five things were, when they were going to happen and who was responsible. Okay? A big gap in what was otherwise a great experience. So I'm having to worry and think about what are the things that we agreed to that I needed to do. I had had a sleep test because I have trouble, sleeping through the night. Well, I still haven't gotten the results from that. I don't know if he's following up on that. So I have this sense of I'm paying, good money, $7,000 a year, and I'm not getting concierge service. Because I shouldn't have to worry. Now, I'm in the business, right? So I know what should happen. The average client is probably still happy with them, but they don't really understand how simple it would be to close that gap. Now, he doesn't have to do any of that. The doctor, he tells his nurse, these are the things, send Rob an executive summary and follow up. So it isn't necessary that the advisor do everything. It's just that somebody does it. Okay? They don't provide me with a monthly call to see how I am and see how things are going. That would add tremendous value. And if on that call he had a topic that he wanted to discuss, I think that'd be great. I'd look forward to talking to him about, the latest breakthroughs in something, right? Anyway, my point is we can learn from different models and the service that we're getting. I'll give you another example. I met with my estate planning attorney, and I probably mentioned this, but he suggested that I look at a GRAT. I'd done a Q-PERT, but he looked at, he said, a GRAT is perfect for you at this stage. You don't need the money, you'll never use up all this money. Let's do a GRAT. Well, I came back and I talked to my financial advisor and they came up with a couple of different models that might work and so forth. And I reflected, why didn't my financial advisor suggest that I use a GRAT? What the hell? What am I paying them for? To think about and anticipate what I should be doing. They didn't come up with the idea of a Q-PERT or a GRAT. Why not? Every client in my situation should be doing those two things if, in fact, they don't want to pay Uncle Sam the extra estate planning dollars, which I don't. So think about it, right, guys? I mean, your model is the family office group. That's where you do and you think about everything for high net worth clients. Well, let's step it up and finish the job. And, there's going to be something else that we come up with to make it even better, right? But for now, this would be the extra piece, I think, that would move you down the road. Comments?
Where would you publish the calendar, like on the bottom of the agenda for the whole year or on a website, or how would you communicate this?
I would send them a separate email at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
And then I'd probably send it out and just tell them to print it out and keep track of it. And that would be probably enough for them. You could put it on your – I think it'd be bold to put it on your website. I think that would be great.
I love that idea because I think if anybody goes to the website, they may think, I'm not talking to anybody about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think it would be great. You've got substance. Your team then knows, hey, this is for real. This isn't like a one-off where I can get away with, not mentioning any of this stuff. This is, clients are going to be ready. I got to be ready. I got to be trained. I got to know how the grant works. I got to know all the, you know, I got to know it. So therefore, you got a month to prepare, guys. All right, let's get ready. Let's learn about it. Let's have the answers, and then let's push forward.
Yeah, and what I would say is I think we've got to do two things in parallel. One is we've got to get that list ready and published, and then B, we've got to be out a month or two making sure we're educated, up to speed, and ready to talk conversantly and knowledgeably with these clients about all these topics. So there needs to be a two to, you know, some period, I don't know if it's a month or two, lead time to sit down and talk to the guys in the trustee area about grass and just what the high levels are, and then, you know, if we're talking to the insurance guys, what kind of information we need to collect to do an outstanding insurance review. So I think it's good to get that done now, and then I think that, you know, to your point of having our partners make us better, that gives us a great framework around to do it so it's not ad hoc and catch as catch can.
Right. You're going to do a lot more business because of it. Okay? Treat this thing like a real business, which it is. But sometimes we wing it, you know. So I think it's – I think you guys are ready. I think it's perfect. Yes, the vice president of implementation is in charge of the calendar when it comes to training and product introduction, products and services that you're introducing. So if the calendar says next month, you know, for November, we're going to talk about grats, okay? October, then, is education month on grats. Planning. Tell our manager. Who are our constituents? They all need to know. They should have a copy of the calendar. All your specialists get a copy of the calendar. Everybody associated with it, you'd send it to your estate planning attorney and say, hey, we're going to be focused on grats in November. We need some training. You need to be prepared because you're going to get some business. So remember, on the calendar, we run it for a two-month period. Every topic lasts 2 months. So, for example, grats would be then November and December. All right, now that's probably not a good month for grats, but the point is we give ourselves 2 months. And the reason we give ourselves 2 months is because, hey, out of 100 people, we're probably going to get 10 of them that need this. So we got follow-up. The same with mortgages, the same with every topic that we talk about. But there are topics that are much more sophisticated than the average financial advisor would use. So, you know, you'd use Cuperts, then you use Grats, then it's a lot of interesting things that you could do and break, you know, take the whole estate planning model and break it into pieces so that you can fully implement it for the right clients. And to me, that's where we're going in the future, and you guys can get there first, frankly. I mean, this is what we, you know, if you read the book, we talk about batch processing. This is how we implemented the financial planning process, but it wasn't quite this organized. This is much better. Much better process. And by doing it, you guys are going to come back to me and say, Rob, you know, we're too jammed. We need 3 months, or we can do it in 1 month, or we need more prep time, or 2 weeks is plenty for prep time. You know, you can tell me what, because I'm, you know, I've had some teams actually do this, and this is where this came from, but not that many. I would say that you'd be about among the 0.1% of the teams that have done Supernova, if you do this.
I think we can do it in January.
Oh, yeah.
We were nervous you were telling us to implement that tomorrow, Rob.
No. No, I want you to think through it and get excited about it, get organized. And remember, it's a 24-month calendar. It's not a 12-month.
Yep.
And I like that because then you can have, you know, 8 or 10 new topics in there. And then you don't have to repeat some of them. Some of them can be new then for the 36-month calendar and so forth. The nice thing for people, I just looked at my property in Florida. You know, I put it into a graph at the beginning, at the bottom there, and it's I've got significant appreciation in that property now. And that belongs to my kids, you know, as long as Marcia lives long enough, you know. But those are where you made the client feel smart. Remember, our job is to make the client feel smart.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Makes the client feel smart, you know. We can kill ourselves to be right on the market and then still not be right, but it's so much easier to be right on taxes and tax strategies. They may change, but for now, they're real, okay? And you can do some very smart things that end up looking pretty good. So even with the best, they don't, you know, I think the team that works with me, I think, are very good. But what the heck? Where were they? Two great strategies, right? They missed the ball.
Exactly.
Okay.
We accept the challenge.
Good for you. You guys are great. Well, and that's why you're going to do some amazing things. I mean, I'm not putting praise on you falsely. I mean, you guys are really good. This week, week 11, if you can believe it, is focused. It's focused on things we've really already covered, okay? It's on the meetings and the organization and the leadership. We spent some time on it, but let's kind of go through it again because I find that no matter how many times we review these things, there's always confusion, all right? Especially when it comes to organization, meetings, structure, and those things. People get confused by terms and strategies and other things. So tell me what you have now and what your meeting schedule looks like, what you're covering, and then how does that compare to week 11 assignment and what I gave to you. I'm happy to go back through it, but if you've already reviewed it, I don't want to go through it again.
Well, I mean, Rob, right now, I mean, in terms of we continue to hold the weekly or the daily meetings for the operations.
Good.
The activity meeting we're holding on Monday, and the results based upon schedules, your feedback here I think would be useful. From the results piece, Fridays have proven a little bit difficult for us to get together all in person, so we've been emailing our results, and there's been a central collector of that data that then reports it back out to the client, to the team.
Well, remember the Friday meeting should be with each of the vice presidents reporting in on their area, and as you get more organized, with more responsibilities directed to each of the vice presidents, you'll have more accountability issues, and therefore the meeting becomes that much more urgent. So, again, the Friday meeting is the five-star meeting. It's a scoreboard. How did we do, Mr. Vice President, in planning? How did we do in implementation? How is that 24-month calendar going? Will we be ready for January? Have you got a prototype put together? Let's look at it, et cetera. How are we doing in brand management? You know, how is Supernova going? How is accountability according to Supernova going, et cetera? And then marketing, what are our results from our marketing effort? And you obviously are hitting it out of the park, so you're getting results, so there won't be any hesitation to to focus on results. And then the vice president of leadership is the one that just checks to make sure the Monday meeting is happening, the Friday meeting is happening, the daily meeting is happening. And if not, is there a way of making it happen that works with everybody's schedule? Is there a better day? Is there a better time? Is it? Can we do it by phone, conference call? So back to you guys. Is the Friday meeting an insurmountable issue in terms of availability, or is it convenience? Is it, what is it that that you need to do on the Friday meeting to make it happen?
We tend to be all over the place on Fridays. Like this week, Sean will be in Jackson Hole. Rob will be in New York. Sarah will be in New York. I will be here. But that seems to be the story every Friday, so it just proves to
be
challenging.
Vegas,
yeah.
Friday. Would Thursday be a better day, or are you guys just jammed?
Pretty jammed.
We are jammed, but that doesn't, it's certainly not an excuse not to sit down and hold the meeting.
Maybe we should do it Thursday.
Probably Thursday.
Weekdays
would
probably
be better.
Yeah. Or, I mean, Wednesdays at this time is going to be open, too, after we're done with our call.
Right.
We could do that.
Rob, we'll reflect on that and get back to you.
Yeah, I would just, and that's helpful for me because, you know, you guys are actually doing this stuff rather than, you know, giving me lip service. I want it to work.
Right.
So if Thursday works better, and remember, try and keep these things to less than an hour, all right? The Monday meeting should be quick. That could be 30 minutes, 40 minutes. But the shorter the meeting, the more chance you have of repeating it.
Yeah, we're trying to get the daily meetings down to 5 to 10.
That's good. That's really good. And you know, The idea of the daily meeting is if we organize ourselves, we save the time of interruptions. Okay, so the fewer the interruptions, especially for your staff, the better everybody's productivity is. I would meet with my management assistant once a day, we'd sign everything, take care of everything, talk about our schedule, and then I would not interrupt her for the rest of the day unless it was really urgent.
How'd you like
I would have an inbox.
I'd be lonely. We're all looking at her.
Well, I mean, sure, you can socialize a little bit, but the idea is if you want to get work done, I mean, being interrupted every 10 minutes just completely destroys your train of thought, and you get screwed up on projects. So just think about that. You know, I had an inbox and an outbox, and all my instructions were always in writing. You can do it on the computer. You know, you can do it with text. I don't know how you do it today, but that's how we did it. And she would just pick up things periodically during the day from me, and her productivity was fabulous. So when I was yelling at her and interrupting her, productivity would go down the drain. So that was one of the things that I tried to do when working, you know, in person with a team is to get them so that they don't interrupt each other. So think about, you know, your process for the weekly meeting, keeping it under an hour, you know, the 40-minute meeting on Monday, maybe a 45, 50-minute meeting on Thursday or Friday. Pick a time that works for everybody and really try and get their engagement. If they can't make the meeting, have them call in with their report so that everybody's taking their responsibilities seriously as in these vice president roles.
Because
you can't, you know, one person can't do it all or two people. It's got to be a true team effort.
Yeah, you know what I was just saying is, Rob, is that we've probably got some technology around here that we could do these meetings remotely. You know, the next 2 weeks are a bit of an anomaly where Sean and I are both gone on a Friday. Typically more often. It's not an anomaly. Never mind, I retract my question. Well, I do stick to the idea that maybe technology...
The other way around.
You know what's funny is that they sit here and complain that I'm never here, but they always tell me things go much better when I'm not and they're happier.
Right. Well, listen, I don't want to...
I'm about to lose my big comfy chair on the floor. Sean just said back to Italy once they moved me down to four, $45 million came in when I wasn't in everybody's way.
That's great.
So, Rob, if you've got 30 seconds for a complete sidebar, since I know you're a cyclist.
Yes.
I do some stuff to raise money for Davis Finney Foundation.
Yes.
So I met Chris Carmichael and been spending some time with him. And I just agreed to do a camp a month for the next 6 months solo with him out in San Ynez, California. He said, give me 2 days for 5 or 6 days a month for the next couple of months. He said, I'm going to get you back in shape.
Oh, wow.
So we will have to get a little more technologically sophisticated.
Oh, that's great. Now, listen, lifestyle is very important. A balance in your life, doing the things you want to do, you're going to have a lot more energy for the other things. You know, I'm a big, huge fan of proper physical, you know, balance in your life, proper amount of sleep, exercise, and diet, getting your head right. Looking forward to really fun things here. You know, I just took basically two weeks and went to Italy and, you know, hiked the Dolomites and, you know, God bless, I'm able to do it and love to do it and we'll keep doing it because it's my motivation. You know, I look at the pictures in between while I'm working. You know, they're screensavers for me of all my hikes all over the world. That's motivation. Same thing for you. You know, getting that opportunity to challenge yourself and get in great shape and hike with some of the greatest cyclists in the world. God, wonderful. Do use technology or do it on Thursday or... You know, adjust, figure out. The team knows. You guys know the answers to most of the questions. The question is, can you, you know, do you have the will to organize yourself that well so that you keep this stuff going? And it's like any great team, a cycling team, any great team, you've got to communicate, and the morale is important, and, you know, being there in person or being there technologically on the phone, on, you know, it's important. Support the team. Be there mentally for the team. Congratulate the team. And be a true team. And then you'll collect the benefits of all of that. So Yeah, work that out. That's, I mean, I think this was a worthwhile topic since you guys are pretty, you know, pretty far down the road here on this stuff. So, way to go. Are you going to get a, do you need a trainer to come with you?
I think that's what Carmichael has in mind for himself. I was asking him about, you know, you sure you can do this and you sure you can do that? And I had read Armstrong's book, and he talked about when he took Armstrong up to Beach Mountain, and somewhere in that rainy, cold, terrible weather, Armstrong decided to walk away from a $2 million disability policy and go back to racing. And he said, so, you know, you're not the only guy who's hit bumps and had problems getting back on track and stuff. And he said to me, he had a really interesting question. He said, so I looked up a little bit about you, and I talked to Davis about you. He says, and from what I can understand, you're in the top 0.1% of 1% of what you do for a living. And I said, somewhere around there. Yeah, we've got a good team. It's very successful. He said, so you never failed at that? I mean, you just kind of came into this industry one day and kind of figured it out and went right at it. I said, oh, my God, I can't even count how many times I failed. And I said, you know, I fail every day, and I'm probably going to fail 1,000 more times. He said, exactly. He said, the only thing that's important is that every time you fail, you got back up. That's all that matters to me. He said, just time to get back up and let's go. And I said something about, so, yeah, I'm in this bad shape and blah, blah, blah. He said, hey, do you ever almost die from cancer? And I'm like, well, no. He said, well, you know, Lance did. He said, hey, do you have Parkinson's? And I said, well, no. He said, well, Davis does. And he said, and all those guys are still riding bikes and doing stuff. So he said, I absolutely don't want to hear any excuses out of you.
Whoa. All right. Well, that's a good challenge. Mm-hmm. Well, you'll have to get over to the Dolomites. They, I hiked them, but there were a lot of cyclists over there. Pretty neat, Northern Italy. There, those mountains are something. They're really.
Yeah, I've got a buddy in San Francisco who used to race professionally, and he said that everybody knows about the Alps and that, but he said the Dolomites are the nicest mountains in the world.
And they're just gorgeous. Just absolutely gorgeous with fabulous, you know, they have five-star resorts at the bottom of these mountains that, you know, up in the mountains they have got wonderful presidios where you really, you can rest, you can sleep. They have little restaurants up there, you know, for the hikers. So it's very, very sophisticated. Very luxurious for what we're used to. We're used to camping and tenting and all that stuff. This was quite luxurious, lovely. Anyway, all right, well, anything else for me? Any other questions or concerns?
I think we're good right now.
Really. Yeah, the one thing I will tell you, Rob, that we've made, I think, a really big big step again just in a week, and it really makes me happy, is that this week for every one of the calls or meetings I participate in, I stopped off in Dallas on my way home from California to meet with a client of ours who's the CFO of Kimberly-Clark. And as you might guess, for a gal like that, a pretty tough cookie. The market hasn't done a lot since she came. We had some bad timing, so things didn't look great for us. But with the process that we've been going through, we now have a really good sense of what it is that she wants, what she likes to see, the format she likes to see it in. So by the time I walked into her office in Dallas, she had the agenda. She had all of the material that we were going to review. It was in the order and the format that she likes to see it in. The meeting just couldn't have gone any better. And then I guess I got back Tuesday, but today Claudia sent me an executive summary template that she asked me to use. And so I launched that off to the client this afternoon before 12. So last week I was saying, you know, we're not really quite hitting all the things yet, but this week we really started to dial it up. And all of my calls this week have, you know, I've had a sheet of paper. These are the things you need to talk about. Then the executive summary went out. So I'm feeling really good about that.
I'm really proud of you. Congratulations. It's nice when the service matches the client's. That client deserves that kind of service. And now your service matches the quality of your clientele. And They deserve it, and you deserve it. I'm glad it works. They will value it. In fact, a person like that would be kind of, they don't know what to expect, but when they get it, they'll be like, yeah, this is what I deserve. And they won't go anywhere. See, we used to find that we could get the $50 million client, but we couldn't keep them. Mm-hmm. You can get them, and you can keep them with Supernova. The confidence that goes, your confidence goes through the roof, as I can tell it is already. You're a confident guy, and you have a confident team. But this gives you the structure that you know there's nobody out there giving a better client experience. And you can articulate it rather than say, yeah, we give great service. Well, what the hell is that? Now you can
articulate exactly
what it is that you...
We used to sell it.
Cheap, you know? You're
giving Sean and I used to sell it. Sean and I used to sell it and then wonder how long it was going
to
be before they saw through our sales pitch.
Well, that's the problem. That's exactly right. That lack of, not, you know, the truth is that in many cases we didn't have the systems and the processes to deliver on what it was that we offered. And now you do. So congratulations. Share it. Have your clients share it. You know, get out there, get those centers of influence to come in and see your team, meet your team, have your vice president stand up and introduce themselves and pitch what you do, and then visit your centers of influence and have them articulate what they do and bring that game to the level that your client game has gotten to. And then you got the whole thing.
Yep.
Okay. Great. Have a great week. Talk to you next week.
All right, Rob. Thanks for your help.
Thank you,
bye
Rob.
Now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.